exciting.
I did not know that. And now I do.
That's what I do.
Oh.
It's 503-733-2970. That was a legitimate shudder right there. That's what that was.
That's
green
wrong.
Pus.
Okay.
Green pus.
Okay.
Green.
Okay.
12-inch scar.
Jagged.
Oh, I'm sorry. Snorting. Jagged, infected, right through the muscle. See, I'm just going to do it to watch you twitch. You're like one of those dancing flowers. Rick, I have worked for the... this is from Todd the Corpse. Rick, I have worked for the last 3 years to forget Jolie's comments about the sweater and the hanger. The sweater and the hanger is like that... It's like that Stephen Covey thing about the rocks and the sand. Or that Aquila and the Bee movie. Except this is the sweater and the hanger. In fact, just hearing you talk about it again transports me back to where I was the first time I heard about the sweater and the hanger. I was watering some plants in my front yard, and I had to stop and take a moment. I had scrubbed that from my mind. Now it's back, and I think I hate you. By the way, if none of you have no idea what the word episiotomy means, consider yourself lucky. Sarah?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I guess we're lucky. It's 503-733-2970. On that note, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent and golden god, Jim Roop.
I think I know what episiotomy is.
Well, you have kids.
Yeah.
Apparently it's something to do with the birthing process. Please don't feel the need to explain it further.
Okay, I can get medical or street if you'd like.
Street?
Street.
Oh, I want to hear it.
You're gonna come bring it, whoop up on us and, and step to us and represent.
Yo, yo.
We were having this discussion earlier. If you really must know, we were having this discussion, and I recognize that you've not asked to hear these details. We were having this discussion about Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Because really, here's the thing. Radio stations are chartered, as you are undoubtedly aware. Sorry, pardon me just one second. I got a drink. I just need a little bit of water here. Hold on just one moment. Ah, all right.
Gross.
Our charter, that's gross. Really?
Would you rather
I go back to talking about pus?
No, you swish all the little chunks out of your mouth and then swallow it?
I wasn't swishing chunks out of my mouth.
I had a dry throat. Oh, okay.
You didn't get the dry cough?
Sure.
Shut your head. Get that dry throat, Don, is some pus. We were talking about Britney Spears because there had been a story that Britney Spears had secretly gone in and had her second kid, and that she had done it through a cesarean section. And so here's the thing, is that none of us on the show have any kids, and God love them, God love people who have children, but it's not for us. We're a non-breeding show. And we're a show we choose not to birth. And that's just kind of the way we are. But we were talking about the cesarean section. And so the problem is, whenever we discuss childbirth or bearing or any sort of physical change related to that, we always are talking about it from a position of ignorance. This show, when it comes to children, we are like that fat kid on the school ground that wants to tell you about sex when you're 12. And his name is Eddie, and he breathes heavily and giggles a lot when he talks. And he goes, and then the guy, and then the girl, and it's all, and he's wrong about 40% of the time. That's us. And so we were having this discussion about cesarean section, and I got hip deep into the discussion, so to speak, and realized that we didn't really know what we were talking about. And so any number of people in the audience who have children and or who have had cesarean sections immediately emailed us a lot of very unpleasant details about the operation and what it entails versus so-called natural birth.
Yeah.
And at one point, Sarah's taking a drink.
No, you just made me spit out an entire mouthful of Viso.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was awful.
Anyway, and so at one point there was some discussion about, I don't even know what
about whether you'd rather have the baby cut out of your stomach or actually be all, like, stretched down.
And then a woman, and Sarah said, well, you know what, I don't want kids, but if I was pregnant, I don't want to go through the whole pushing it out thing. I'd rather have it cut out. And a woman named Christine emailed us with a long, long,
horrible,
detailed, horrible explanation of what is sometimes involved in the aftermath, one might even say afterbirth, of a cesarean section.
Well, I can tell you. I've witnessed two.
See, this is the problem. This is where you... We were having this discussion on the show the other day called... And we never really got it off the ground because we got distracted by a thing. But it was a discussion, and it was basically a Finish this sentence. Things you wish you could unsee. I'm going to make a note to myself. We'll do that later this week. Things.
I will tell you this about a C-section.
Okay.
I'm surprised they don't number the parts.
That's
all I'm saying.
What does that mean?
That means getting everything back where it's supposed to be.
Like closing all the flaps?
Why would you say that?
Back, they take half the stuff out to get to the kid. There's a whole lot of moving things around in there.
Oh, it wasn't the pretty picture I had.
You almost need a schematic.
I thought it was like one little like cut.
It's not a Barbie. It's
pull
not,
the baby out.
No, that's the thing.
No. There's things in the way.
It's not like one of those dolls where you just take off the stomach and the baby's sitting inside smiling at you.
With a diaper.
Because the baby's not supposed to come out from the front, so there's stuff there. They got to move that stuff.
So it's sort of like, let me understand this. So it's a little, it is as though you wanted to take out a TV dinner from the freezer. But instead of opening the freezer door, you decided to get the TV dinner out of the freezer by tunneling in from the bathroom.
Or
from underground.
Or from underground, right.
Or from the house next door.
Jesus
Christ.
From the basement.
Do you ever call this show and sometimes cringe at the idea of what we're going to be talking about when we answer the phone?
Hell no, I look forward to it.
Okay. I'm just saying.
That's my favorite part of the day. Are you kidding?
Hold on, Sarah.
Let me the definition of that word you were saying. Oh my God.
Okay, Sarah just did a sharp intake of oxygen.
Okay. No, we'll never talk about it again.
Let's all take a deep breath, shall we?
Why did you have me call you, sir?
Does it really matter?
What did we pretend to pick today?
Here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Do you get quizzed later by Laura or somebody about like, and did they actually get to that story, Jim, or was this another ruse?
No, I try not to talk to anybody in Atlanta.
God bless you. No, we actually did have a reason, and it's because of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Because I was in L.A. over the weekend, as I told you, and I caught little bits and pieces of the story, but I never caught the whole thing. And even today, we had a little bit, there was a little bit on Drudge about this, but what is it that Schwarzenegger said exactly, and to whom did he say it?
It was a speech-writing session.
Right.
He was talking with his chief of staff, who, by the way, is a Democrat.
Yes.
And some other guy was in the room, the speechwriter, I think. And they were talking about whatever they were talking about. There's 6 minutes of that thing where they just start rapping about people in the legislature. This person, so-and-so, these guys are great, this guy's kind of nutty. And his chief of staff, this woman, says, and Bonnie Garcia, she's a ball buster, she's great. And he goes, yeah. And she said, is she Puerto Rican? And he says, Puerto Rican or Cuban, I'm not really sure. They're real hot, you know. He's talking about a fiery personality. He said, you know, they got that Latino blood in them, the black blood in them, and that's what makes it. And then so he's talking about how feisty she is and how they like her. And Phil Angelides, Governor Schwarzenegger's opponent in the gubernatorial race here, got a hold of that and released it.
Well, the question is, it was a speech-writing session. How did he get a hold of the audio?
Oh, that's the investigation, see, because you need a password in the governor's computer server to get that audio. So somebody got in there.
So there's a mole.
There is a mole.
See, we were just talking about this the other day, actually, because there's a television station in town where there's a lot of drama currently going on. And we have a friend of ours who was fired, the rumors are, because they felt he was the mole. And it turns out that he was not, because even after he left, all of the same information kept leaking out of the same department. Every time there's one of these stories, it fascinates you, because you got to wonder who is in there. Who's in the fifth column, you know? Who's leaking that stuff from the inside?
Well, the weird thing about this is if you listen to it in its context, and the L.A. Times had it posted on their website for a while, you can listen to the whole thing. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
You know, and they start taking it out of context and accusing the governor saying she's hot as in, you know.
Oh, okay. So this is a thing. So they're trying to make it into another I want
sexual
to,
thing.
They're
yeah.
trying to make it into another I want to grope her.
Yeah, they're trying to make it into
When really he was just, I mean, and again, I don't wish to traffic in stereotypes, but I mean, it really does seem like there are certain sort of attitudes often that are very prevalent in certain cultures.
Well, of course.
And everybody knows it. But see, but even you can hear even me, and I don't care, and I don't give a rip about anybody. You can hear even me. I'm trying to pick my way around it because we're all so terrified to say what we really think in this country.
When I was Irishman. I'm a drinker.
That's...
I got a short temper.
There you go.
Come on.
Sarah, Irish, drunk right now.
There you go.
So there you go. It's true. And, you know, and I'm just kind of a, I'm kind of a mutt. And so I eat Kraft macaroni and cheese. What are you going to do? There you go.
What's wrong with that?
It's what it is. So, I mean, so I, and I,
cheese eater?
California, though, is its own kind of country, though, and it is a place where all of this stuff, I mean, these are things that get used as wedges, I mean, constantly.
And you know what? There's no controversy about, and the governor today says in another L.A. Times article that when he came to the United States from Austria, he learned English, and he says, quote, Mexican immigrants don't want to make that effort. They don't seem to want to join America's house.
Right.
Well, there seems to be, that's not controversial.
Right.
Why is he, why, and Bonnie Garcia, the subject of that conversation, says, I'm not offended.
Right. So even she doesn't care.
No, she's not going to apologize.
So this is a whole tempest in a teapot kind
of thing. Which is making Phil Angelides look like a moron.
Hey, as a side note here, and I know because you're covering a couple of things, we've talked about this Apple thing earlier
today. Oh, that's
cool. Man, I got to tell you this. I am a huge, and every time I say this, I get a bunch of hate mail from people, but I am a huge fan of Steve Jobs and that company. And I can tell you, I do not myself own a Mac. I don't own, I have, you know, we have an iPod, but that's about it. But I, you know, I'm a PC man, you know, when it comes to computers, just cause. But I gotta tell you, man, that guy, Steve Jobs and Google and Mark Burnett from Survivor, those three guys and companies, they're gonna end up owning the entire world.
Yeah, you know what's cool about this particular announcement is that he has this gadget that goes, that you can buy for $300. That you can take these downloaded movies from that 2-inch screen of iPod.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Play it on your TV.
No, it's that, it's, you look back at just the way that the MPAA and the way the RIAA just completely dropped the ball, the way that all the major studios and labels just completely dropped the ball. And Steve Jobs, the guy, you don't want to give him, you don't want to give him a spare second because he will absolutely just clock you and take control of everything.
Yep.
And
well,
that
wasn't
is,
he involved with, Microsoft dude at first, weren't they partners or something?
Bill Gates. It's actually a long and tangled history between the two of them, and they've, you know, they've known each other for a long time, and Apple, of course, you remember early on, back in the 80s, it looked like they were going to own the entire computer industry, and it's
yeah,
all...
then Windows came along.
Windows came along, and Windows and the Macintosh were both that graphical user interface, basically, where, you know, where you see a trash can instead of having to type the word garbage or whatever.
Yeah.
The Macintosh and the Windows, where you, it's, you know, where you click on stuff and it's a point and click and a mouse. Both of those were stolen from the same place. They were stolen from the Palo Alto research facility that Xerox ran. Xerox created that. Steve Jobs and Bill Gates stole that technology at about the same time.
Mm.
And Gates, of course, just ended up kind of owning the world because he made it open. In other words, you know, other people can make stuff. Or the PC, rather, can, you know, other people can make stuff for the PC, and, you know, and Macintosh is a closed shop, basically.
Right.
But, and then later on, you know, Gates actually became an investor in Apple to keep it afloat, I think largely because Gates likes to have something he can point to out there that is a so-called competitor. So it was pretty savvy, actually. Gates put like $50 million into Apple just because it's useful to him to have another company around so, you know, so he can get out from underneath the monopoly charges.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I could go on and on about Steve Jobs. If you ever want to literally learn about that guy and see a lot about what makes him tick, you should rent a documentary called Triumph of the Nerds.
Really?
Which is by a guy named Robert X. Cringely, who writes for PC World, I think, now. It's called Triumph of the Nerds, and it is stunning. And, man, Steve Jobs is one of those guys, you realize that in another world, in another time, he would have led a country, you know, and just been a dictator over some Eastern European block somewhere and just ruled with an iron fist, and there would have been golden statues of him in the town square.
Wow.
I mean, just a visionary, but just brilliant and ruthless and just fascinating to me. So
yeah, I dig those kind of guys.
I love that guy. And again, I don't use Apple computers, but I love Steve Jobs. I really do. I don't know if I'd say that he's a hero, but he is definitely someone I admire. A guy I look up to in a big, big way.
There you are.
So, all right, so we've gone from C-sections to groping and Schwarzenegger to Steve Jobs. That, my friend, is what sets the Rick Emerson Show apart. We pack so much content into one appearance, Jim Roop.
And we did it in like 15 minutes, man.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, it's that kind of, that's what
you,
gives...
You give us 25 minutes, we can fix the freaking world.
That's really, it really, it's like the amount of content we put in here could be measured in metric tons. You know what I mean?
I believe you.
All right, brother, we will talk to you soon. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for being the fuse, sir.
It's what I do, my friend.
All right, man.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Portland Tribune, lurking out here in the hallway somewhere, just kind of standing around.
He's in KUPL. I'm looking at him.
Waiting for, he'll be in any minute now. And, I swear to God, he'll be here in just
Smokey.
A second. Dennis Pitzenbarger, who's...
Now he's schmoozing. There he is.
And, thank you.
Sorry.
All right, sorry.
Hi.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Sorry.
Didn't mean to interrupt your schmoozing over the other radio.
I was over at one of your fine sister stations. All right.
Yeah.
KUPL.
Woo!
I was over there talking to Smokey.
Okay.
Sorry, I got the pee. That's... I'm constantly...
The poppin' pee.
The poppin' pee from Pitzenbarger.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome...
Thank you so much.
Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. You didn't get my email. You did not get my email with the actual... I have theme music produced by a friend.
Oh, God. I was afraid you were going to say with actual pictures.
I thought that you were going to show us, like, the birth of your child.
Well, look up here. Tracy wants to talk about C-section. Oh, we lost Tracy, though. Well, that's too bad. I was hoping that we could do nothing but C-section calls for the... This
I know that we're totally ignorant.
This show...
I kind of like it. I like living in bliss, though. I don't want to know that there's...
My bride had a vaginal birth.
Did you really just say that?
Well, she did.
Okay. Just call her your bride.
That's what Ed McCarthy did yesterday, but he's like 80. He's allowed.
Why not? She's
my bride, like... and I went to Las Vegas, Rick. Okay, but did you... That's an unpleasant term. And I don't mean to be a prude. And I think Sarah will back me up on this. It's not that I'm a prude. I'm not ashamed of the human body the way that perhaps many religions would want us to be.
Okay.
I am not ashamed of the human body, as Lenny Bruce said.
And we all know you're not ashamed of your wife's body.
Totally.
No, yes. It was awesome.
Stop.
The experience.
Stop. I'm serious now. Hold on. We're going to do this in a logical... I'm just going to... couple things.
Okay. I'm with you.
Here's the thing. As I said, we're not prudes on this program. We are not ashamed. We're not ashamed of anything. We're not embarrassed. We don't believe the human body is dirty on this program the way that maybe we are brainwashed to think in this country, especially if you are a Christian. I'm simply saying there are certain terms and phrases and images that are unpleasant. And I think, and Sarah, am I just speaking for myself?
No, you're not just
And I mean, you've got one. And I mean, the phrase... No, but I'm
that
saying...
That was awful.
Well, it's true. I'm sorry. Am I giving away secrets? I'm sorry. It's just a smooth plastic area like a Ken doll.
Like Kara's boobs.
Is there a... Wow. Yeah, you...
I don't even know what we're talking about. Who?
Kara, the girl with no nipples.
Oh, your friend that...
Yeah,
oh, okay.
The Barbie boobs. Okay.
This is the worst. I don't understand what's going on
it's
today.
Great.
Can we talk about cars?
Anything, yes.
Okay. Are you going to talk about parking a car in a garage?
Only if it's the Suburban. Oh, you know.
Jesus Christ.
So when you and your wife moved in together...
Ah! Okay, I'm sorry.
So before you had the baby, you had the one-car garage. Now...
Oh.
Do you have a two-car garage? Are you still just parking the one?
When you're driving a semi, it doesn't matter what size of garage you're having.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You, sister,
you
that's your fault. Wait, hold on.
No.
I will tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
That David didn't like having a dog. And I said actually doing the show is like sending him every day. He said we want to get rid of the dog and we'll just call it. Sometimes we have it. So here we go. I'm going to go with Danny Bonaducci.
He's created that. That's apparently your sound.
Did you make that by yourself?
I don't know. This sounds like I remember that. That sounds like the good old days on barbiturates, cocaine, and a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, Sarah, that's your fault, incidentally. That thing about the semi. You really?
Yeah, you asked for
you
that.
Said, that was no, a T-ball. You set that up there.
I sent you an email from a good friend of the show, the winner of the use of Delana's voice, put
Below?
Together. The Low, man. He put together a little song for the Fuel. And,
oh, and I haven't played it yet.
And it's on your email. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
I did just get back. I was down at a place. I drove the most fantastic car today, and that's why I'm in the power tie. I don't know if you noticed the...
You are. That's a good tie. I like
got
that.
The stripes on, the pinstripes.
No, you look good. That's a good outfit.
I even wore the green bezeled, the fancy...
It's a watch.
It's a watch.
Yeah.
It has an R on it. It's cool. It goes with the tie, the power tie. Whoopity do. I know.
No, I didn't say whoopity do.
I don't know what we're talking about here.
But I got to drive this car called a Spiker. It was just the coolest experience ever. It was like $287,000 car. It was like it was just, the term exclusivity with people who drive Ferraris or drive Lamborghinis, even a Corvette. You know, there's this certain club that goes along with each one of these
cars. Oh, sure. Yeah, totally.
You know, the joke is that if you're a Corvette owner, you're just a Corvette owner waiting to become a Porsche owner, waiting to become a Ferrari owner, right. Waiting to become a Lamborghini owner. All of those cars, once you've owned them, you go and drive this car. And it was a really neat car. What is it called? It's called a Spiker.
Who makes it?
It's a Dutch company called Spiker.
Oh, like a one-product company?
Yeah, it's a hand-built car. I mean, it's just like the coolest thing. Like all the linkage and everything is all exposed. They had the factory guys out trying to scare me, and we're going like 140 miles an hour through West Lynn, right through the middle of town.
Is this car like one of those dresses they wear on the runways in France that like nobody's really meant to wear? They just do it to get attention. Is that the thing with this car? It's just meant to get publicity.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, it is a road going car. I mean, it is a car that
you can't just go buy it though.
Well, you can if you have $287,000.
You were Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Okay. If you happen to roll down to Wilsonville and hey, here we are.
What's the most expensive car you've ever driven? Is this it?
Exactly. The Spiker. I went down. It's a place called Grand Prix Imports. I went down there and they invited me. It was a really cool thing. They had a lot of other press people. I think there was actually somebody from the CBS family down there as well. I think it was either from the TV faction or from the radio faction that came down there and was test driving the car. So they were inviting people to check them out because it's not really a well-known car.
We actually get people sometimes who ask us, and you probably told this story. Here's the thing. We'll talk about this for a second. We got a break. We'll come back with Tim, and we got Tracy and Casey. We'll get those and so forth. So I'll ask you this question.
We've got a break.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I'm going to ask you this question, but don't answer it.
Okay.
Save your answer. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, because you've probably talked about this, but I get some people actually who ask a lot. Like we had that poor kid, Tim, who came in, I want to be in radio, and we get guys who ask how they can get into doing what you do.
Well, I answered the question. It was vaginal birth.
Okay, you're going to timeout.
Sorry.
No. Thank you. All right. Back after this, Tim Riley, more of Dennis. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Murder City Devil. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. A whole bank of unpleasant calls here. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In just a moment, more from Dennis Pitzenbarger, Portland Tribune. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Junk food, TV, and the internet, a poisoning childhood. That's a finding of a group of renowned psychiatrists. A 110-strong lobby group has written a letter to the government asking them to intervene before children's lives are ruined. There's been no response.
Before your children become fat and stupid. Hey, by the way, I did want to mention this. When I was in L.A. this weekend, they do the coolest thing, and I wanted to mention it because I don't know if you're aware of this, Tim. They do, it was on Saturday, and we were trying to find something to do because we had our plans already made for Sunday. And so we're kind of looking around, seeing what there is to do on Saturday. And you are undoubtedly familiar with the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yeah. It was closed down for a while because it wasn't wheelchair accessible.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So it's open again, and the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, we went there, and we saw, there's some famous graves, and we saw those and whatever. There's Jane Mansfield who's buried there. And by the way, very small, unimpressive grave marker for her. It's kind of sad, really. Yeah. She was this larger-than-life figure, and then she gets just this tiny little thing.
Those guys buy up old cemeteries and fix them up.
Really? Is that their deal?
Yeah, that's their deal.
And so the Johnny Ramone has a statue there, and then Dee Dee Ramone has a gravestone, which is, and of course, in true Ramone's fashion, they're as far away from each other as they could possibly get. The Dee Dee Ramone, it was so great, actually, Dee Dee Ramone's grave, people had left, like, pairs of Chuck Taylors. And a bunch of kids, it was a weird thing at the Dee Dee Ramone grave, a bunch of people had left student ID cards. And with a lot of note, like, you got me through school. You know, here you got me through to my, it was kind of sweet, actually. Kids had left their school ID cards with notes saying, you got me through my teenage years, here you go, here's my ID card. It was kind of a sweet thing that somebody started at Dee Dee Ramone's grave. But then they do the coolest thing on Saturdays during the summer there. They show films in the cemetery, because the mausoleum, one of the mausoleums are huge there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like 50 feet high. And so they do this thing at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery every Saturday night during the summer. They invite people to come in, and there's a huge open lawn in the middle of the cemetery, and they screen classic Hollywood films on Saturday night in the middle of the cemetery on the wall of the mausoleum with a huge sound system. And it sounds creepy, but it wasn't. It was like a kink event, because they're like, bring wine and cheese. And so it was all like yuppie types, you know, and there's Laura and I. And they showed The Apartment, the Jack Lemmon, Shirley MacLaine, Billy Wilder film, which is great. I mean, it was, I gotta say that the Rockstar taping was cool and all that, but this, seeing this classic Jack Lemmon film in the middle of this great, cool Hollywood cemetery under the, you know, under the stars and the palm trees and the moon, it was really, really amazing. And they've shown Psycho there. They've shown a whole bunch of, and Attention Aaron. They're wrapping up the season, but in 2 weeks, they're going to do their final, they call them cemetery screenings. They're going to do the final cemetery screening in 2 weeks for the year of 2006, and it's going to be Dawn of the Dead. And they're going to screen Dawn of the Dead on the wall of the mausoleum in the middle of the cemetery. It's so cool. It's the best. It's $10. If you ever get a chance to do this in Hollywood, it's the coolest film screening I've ever gone to. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the Oklahoma State Fair is 100 years old this year. It starts this weekend. You'll notice some differences if you go. They spruced it up with a brand new wrought iron fence and gates, compliments of the Oklahoma Commission. Of course, the real deal, besides all the fun, is all the good stuff there is to eat in Oklahoma.
Your Indian tacos, cinnamon rolls, and corn dogs, and then put on top of that walk-around corn, pork chop sandwiches, pizza, gyros, fried Snickers, Oreos. It's just the whole gamut out here.
The best part is that this comes on the heels of the "We can't imagine why our children are fat and lazy" article.
Well, this is Oklahoma.
Good God. Well, what are you living long for in Oklahoma anyway? What's the point?
Well, millions of people around the world are waiting for the day when Jesus comes back. Some of them already think he's alive and well and living in South Florida. His name is Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. He's a 60-year-old former heroin addict and a convict. He provides over a church and holds services in a warehouse. He preaches a message of freedom to indulge, saying there is no heaven or hell in the afterlife.
The devil is destroyed. Hell doesn't assist. No condemnation for the chosen ones.
It's good to know that hell doesn't assist.
Preacher Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda says he expects expensive gifts from his congregation.
I don't only have one brother, I have about three, because they want to give it to me. It's like when that woman came to Jesus with the expensive perfume. He didn't reject it. So when someone gives me a watch or something or a gift, I receive it, you know. I like them too. They're nice.
All right, if anybody sees this guy and Phil Hendry in the same room together, you let me know. All right.
Meanwhile, numerous studies have shown moderate alcohol has important health benefits, and now the new report finds it helps your wallet, too. Drinkers earn 10 to 14% more at their jobs than non-drinkers. And men who drink socially, visiting a bar at least once a month, bring home an additional 7% a year. Social drinking builds social capital, says the new research.
Everybody drink. Kids, start now. Let's do one more here, and then we'll move on.
Well, a fellow in Weyburn, I think this is Massachusetts, has been told he'll have his license suspended unless he signs a written promise to stop doing certain eye operations. The College of Physicians and Surgeons of Saskatchewan, says it is concerned about a hand tremor that Dr. Judish Shud has developed.
Yes.
Shud has been practicing in Weyburn since 1967, and according to court documents, he has regularly performed minor procedures such as the removal of cysts and foreign bodies from the eye.
That's a good feeling. You see the scalpel coming to you, and it's just a good wavering. By the way, you should know that's why I haven't had that done, because it just takes one good sneeze, you know? That's what I'm saying. All right.
So, that's it. The college says it took action after Sud refused to undergo a medical evaluation.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley at the City Desk. All right, Dennis Pitsenbarger is here as well. Let's get a couple of these unpleasant phone calls, shall we? This one says, C-section. Tracy?
What, yes?
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Tracy, how are you today?
Hi, good, are you?
Oh, I suspect it's about to get a whole lot worse. What's up?
C-sections are the perfect way to go.
And just to, in case anybody here on the Rick Emerson Show is thinking about becoming pregnant again, Dennis. All right.
I've had three.
Three. Well, because someone told us that once you had a C-section, you could never go back because it was sort of a, the structural integrity had been breached.
No, you can go back. It's called a V-back.
A V-back. Isn't a V-back sounds like a kind of car or something. I don't want to know what V-back stands for, by the way.
I have no clue.
I can tell you.
No, play, please don't.
Okay.
Does it involve the word?
Oh, yeah.
A V-back?
It's, what do you think it's, what do you think the, it name just, another part on a female body that starts with V.
I can.
Oh, I can too, but I mean.
but I don't think you can give birth, well, I mean, it's, I mean,
passes,
I guess, well, I mean, it's in the same, that's like you wave to it on the way. That's like when the Dairy Queen is on the way to McDonald's and you wave at one.
It's the extra window in the drive-thru.
Jesus Christ. Are we, okay. Anyway, Tracy, so you've had three C-sections.
Yes.
All right,
my first two were emergency.
Yeah.
I was in labor for 12 and 13 hours for both of them, and labor sucked.
Is that when you say emergency, is that like a, I mean, not to be morbid or whatever, but is that just like when there's a danger to the baby or whatever, and they're like, well, we got to just finish it now?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. And so the third one was just like, just for fun, or?
We planned a C-section, because at that point, my doctor said I suck at labor.
Is that the medical term? Look, you are a loser at this.
I was up the same day. I was having a shower the same day. Out of the hospital the next day.
Yeah. It's all very.
So it
unpleasant.
Wasn't a 12-inch jagged scar and all
pus.
Green and infected.
Yeah, we heard about pus.
You no.
Okay. Don't yell at me, sister.
No, somebody sent that, I think, to try and freak us out.
There's an email that said, Rick, you don't know from C-section. It's a scar. It's pus. You know, and
C-section is hidden by a bikini.
Well, that somebody else said that it was below the bikini line, but then
who's describing it as the other way? What were they thinking? Like, it was on a boat in, like, 1812? Some guy comes up with, like,
a bite
ass.
Down with a stick. Yeah, bite down on a stick.
Here's some leather to chew on while we take the baby out.
By the way, I have some hedge work I could do as well. All right.
I have to admit, after my first one, I did punch the nurse. But
you punched the nurse?
Well, she went stop pushing on my stomach.
And
I punched her.
Oh, I was in there like Johnny Bench, man.
What's the
I don't
point
know.
If you had to punch the nurse? What is? Oh, that's before they decided to just give it up and go with the C-section.
No, that was after the C-section.
Why were they pushing on you? Okay, really, I don't even want to know this, but why were they pushing on your stomach after the C-section?
To
you don't want to know this.
Shrink the uterus.
To what?
To shrink the uterus.
Is that like wringing out a sponge when you're done?
Yeah.
God damn, I wish I'd never started this. All right, Tracy? Really, I mean this sincerely. Thank you for calling. And I really do mean that because you know what it is? It's everybody out there who's like, should I buy rubbers on the way home or not? That the answer to that is yes now. All right, Tracy, God bless you. That you call anytime.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. I am so horrified by everything. I feel like I've gone through labor today in the show just having to hear all of this. Ow. Let's welcome Casey to the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Attention, advertisers, you too can reach this prime demographic.
That's true. No, there's nothing wrong with the demographic. It's just it's a whole lot of squeezing and cutting and tearing and sewing going on.
But look
in this world.
Look at it this way. You can tap in a whole different market now for commercials and things.
And what market is that?
We won't go there.
All right, okay. What do you got, brother?
So your lovely producer, Sarah,
yes.
was in a fantastic soapbox derby race this weekend.
Thank you, Casey. Nice. Yeah, that was so much fun.
It's true. You got now. Did you see that? The soapbox derby race? I was out of town. What's your excuse?
I was out driving a...
Oh, that's right.
I was driving a midget around it.
I was driving a race car.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We'll
all
talk
right.
about that if you want.
No, yeah. Fair enough. That was great. And have you put photos up?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things on YouTube.
I was going to say, I shot some video. It's going to be up on YouTube. And I fired off an email to you with some pictures of Sarah in it.
To me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look. I haven't checked my email. So, all right.
So you got those.
Excellent. Casey, the roving reporter?
I'm thinking next year, Dennis.
Yes?
I'm thinking Fuel Show versus Emerson.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Okay. I like
no,
it.
No, I'm with that. I'm with that idea. Excellent. Well done, sir.
I'll put you in the wall.
All right, thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. That's it.
All right, have fun.
All right, there you go. That's Casey.
No, I was driving.
I can't be on an Emerson team.
Why?
I'm committed to my girls.
Well, no, but I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, get somebody else.
You have you, and then we'll get Rick in one car, and
the
I'll
three be of us. Totally, the fuel show versus us versus Sarah.
I've been to the Soapbox Derby. It is a kick in the pants. Now, did you get the full water balloon effect and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, well, we had water guns. There were some people, yeah, with full-on, like, you know, like, water balloon launchers.
Oh, we went up there with, like, the full-on, like, the box of water balloons and pelted people as they came.
Some little kid... was throwing blackberries at the cars. It was not cool. So, I mean, like, water balloons are one thing, but we got out of our car after we'd worked on it really hard, and it's white, and it's covered in freaking blackberries, and our outfits are, too.
It's just not enough beatings.
I agree.
Welcome to Montevilla.
All right. I'm looking at some of these calls, and I just...
I did have a lot of fun driving that car this weekend. I don't know if you know that, but I had my debut.
Are you going to be writing about this in the Tribune? Are you going to be covering it? What was it called again?
The Spiker. No, I mean, I drove that, too. That was today. But, no, this last weekend, I got to drive a race car.
An actual race car.
Race car out in Banks, out in the Sunset Speedway. And I had an opportunity to drive a dirt track car, which is kind of like, you're familiar with NASCAR.
I am.
You know? Okay. This is where the roots of that racing format comes from. It's just a dirt track. It's an oval. I went out there. I had more fun than you could possibly imagine. One, because I was actually competitive. I didn't spin the car. I had the pros walking up saying, hey, man, you actually handled the car well. You did, you know, pretty darn okay. So, I mean, it was a great ego boost to me that I can actually go out and drive a race car, but it was also just the fun. I mean, you could go out, somebody could go out and do this for like $2,000. I mean, that's how cheap it is.
Right.
I know that $2,000's easy to say, oh, look, I found $2,000 on the ground, but somebody that's into motorsports could very
easily...
How
fast were you going?
You're probably going like 60 or 70 on the straightaway, maybe 50 in the corners. I mean, you're not really... But you got to remember, it's a little tiny oval. So
right.
It's just a kick in the pants. You're in a full cage car. You got harnesses and helmets. And it was more fun than I really thought it was going to be. And I'm hooked. I mean, I've told my wife, like, we're buying a race car. And she's just... Oh, God, no.
Yeah, have more kids. That's really the way to have disposable income around the house. That's from what I'm told. Before I get these calls, I should mention this, because we mentioned this before the break, that I have gotten... We talked to that Tim kid, that poor sod who's still... And he's still... Did I tell you this? He's still going to Mount Hood Community College. We had to do a whole scared straight.
You know, that's his stupidity, not ours.
Seriously.
You know, we tried.
I feel
he
like...
He wants to spend $26,000? Was that it?
No, 22.
Oh,
only 22.
Okay, only 22. Oh, I'm sorry.
I really know. I feel like we ought to do a whole 10-minute scared straight segment someday this week about, like, radio horror stories. But we get some people who actually ask how they can get into doing what you're doing, which is writing about... Because you just... I mean, that's your thing. You just write cars for the Tribune. You
well,
write
I mean,
about it. That's
I,
your
I
deal.
Sell a lot of stuff, too. I mean, You know, this is the deal. Save your money from Mount Hood Community College. Go to, you know, go buy a Zig Ziglar book. Learn how to sell. Pitch your own show. Fund it. Boom. Done. You got to, you know, I'm not talented. So, you know, my show sucks, but I can fund it, so therefore it is on air. Unlike you.
I love you. You sort of embrace the whole ragged nature of your existence and go with it.
I'm like you. You're very talented, but you probably can't sell yourself out of a wet paper sack.
No, not out of a sock.
Yeah, that's the opposite end of the spectrum. Right. So... If you have no talent, learn how to sell.
Let me play this. We got the Week in Geek. We'll take this into the break. And we come back. It's just a choice of evils here. Wants to talk about Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, I know why.
Wants to talk about Guy's view of a C-section. I don't know if that's a figurative view or... So we're going to do this. We'll come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents... In Geek.
What up, noobs? This is Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com with what may turn out to be the nerdiest Week in Geek of all time. With the release of the book, The Physics of Superheroes, author James Kakalos finally puts to rest the reason why Superman can't change history, but might technically be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, and if Spider-Man's Spidey Silk really could allow him to hang from the Brooklyn Bridge. Although none of that matters, because we know the only one true superhero is Batman. I mean, come on. This book is even being published by Gotham Books. Although only a three-day event in 2006, DirecTV, starting 2007, will be sponsoring the Championship Gaming Series, the first channel dedicated to tournament video game playing. Someday the day will come that fat, pasty, pimpled boys will be revered as athletic gods, and the Tiger Woodses of the world will live in their father's basements. You know, if they weren't dead. And finally, Illinois psychologists have just concluded a study that asked the question, how would online avatars interact if their human counterparts were not there to control them? It should come as no surprise that the majority of avatars sit around arguing about which is better, Star Wars and Star Trek, and then go run and hide whenever a female avatar enters the gaming world. I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, wondering why the hell I can't get this piece of popcorn out from between my teeth. Ah!
The Week in Geek, only from the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
No, he's worth every penny of that.
Oh, let's not go there.
All right. Well, I can say that. You can't.
Dennis
Pitsenbarger for the Portland Tribune. 503-733-2970. Hey, we're here with Dennis Pitsenbarger. We'll get to some other stuff here in a second. Real quickly, give some pimping to a play that's going on at Theater Theater. If you've seen Theater Theater, it is on... what is that, Hawthorne? I can never remember what street that's... No, it's Belmont.
It's on Belmont, yeah.
Theater Theater, where I've seen a bunch of things, where I saw 21 Dog Years a while back, and Talk Radio and some other stuff. It's called Murder at the Howard Johnson's. It's called a full-service comedy by Sam Bobrick and Ron Clark. It's a late show at Theater Theater, 2 weeks only, featuring Marcella Lanch's Arlene, Michael Vaughn, who's actually a good friend of ours. He's the guy who hooked us up with Nate Morton from the house band. He was in Bigger Than Jesus and so forth. Mike Vaughn as Mitchell, etc. Go see Murder at the Howard Johnson's Friday and Saturday nights only, September 15th and 16th. So basically this Friday and Saturday. Last time due. It's a late night show. Doors open at 10:15 with concessions available. Curtain at 10:30. PBR and wine cooler there. A funny show and cheap ass drinks. What could be better, they say? Murder at the Howard Johnson's this Friday and Saturday at Theater Theater on Southeast Belmont. So try to catch it. All right, let's quickly roll through some of these here. I have no idea what this is about. Our good friend Brad, the car guy. Hello, sir.
Hey, I was quickly going to give you some frame of reference and please get back to car talk rather than C-section talk. But the Spiker, because I know you rushed out and saw the first day it was out, Basic Instinct 2.
Sure.
But that was the car that was at the first of the show where she drowned her boyfriend.
I was so afraid you were calling in to talk about C-section 2 as it related to Sharon Stone's anatomy somehow and her crossing her legs in a police station.
No. Thank
God.
You know, I'm not Dennis.
Hey! You can't see the scar. I've rewound the movie too many times.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... I thought you were talking about at home.
I rented the movie, watched the car scene, shut it off, and took it back to the video store.
Well done.
That's
sort of the Mr. Skin of the automotive world.
Yeah, that's about all that movie's worth, too.
All right. Thank you, Brad. All right, there you go. Speaking of the devil, this is our good friend. This is Tim, the kid who was in last week who was toying with going to Mount Hood Community College. Tim.
Hey, Rick. Hey, sir. How's it going?
Hi, Tim.
What's up, brother? What's your deal? So are you actually going to be... this is almost too late in the show. It is too late to start talking about this.
Now
Scotty's going to come unglued if I tell you not to do this, but...
Well, I just want to let you know that I talked to Tim Savage on Saturday.
Yes.
And he wanted me to send me a resume, so I sent him the resume, and so far he's looking at it. And he's going to try and get me into some radio deal, I don't know, but I just want to let you know.
Fantastic. Well, Tim Savage is a good guy. Try not to be alone in a room with him.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right. And real quickly, Andy. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi. Is this call going to contain something unpleasant that is a mental image I can't unsee?
I'll do my best not to hurt you too bad.
Thank you.
But from a guy's perspective, a C-section is, it's got some benefits and some drawbacks.
You don't get called names
and punched when she's giving birth.
Well, that's what that woman was in. Tracy was saying that after when they were trying to... squeeze her out, get her back to normal size, and she was punching a nurse. All right, so you don't have to go through the whole feeding her ice chips for 55 hours.
Exactly, which is a big plus. But
yes,
some of the drawbacks, or one of the biggest drawbacks, is there's a whole lot of maintenance and cleanup for the next couple of weeks.
After the C-section? Well, it's like any surgery, though. Like if you get an appendectomy, that you got to clean the scar, or clean the incision.
You know, this is...
Yes.
I won't say it's a whole lot more unpleasant because, you know, it's where my kid came from. My ex-wife had 2 C-sections, so I got to go through it twice. But it's not something that I'd recommend on a full stomach.
There you go. That kind of describes the childbirth process, period.
Yeah.
And raising children, really.
Well, right. You do that on a full stomach full of alcohol.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
It seems to get you through.
All right. God bless you, sir.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, I'll try. Thanks. That'll be easy now. Hey, Dennis Pitzenbarger, what's coming up in the Portland Tribune, brother?
Actually, what I thought would be a perfect car for Sarah, we discussed it a little bit, the Toyota Yaris, which is actually a really neat little car. People always wonder where that inexpensive, reliable, though maybe not exciting car went to in the world as automotive buys. The Toyota Yaris, what a great little car.
I'm totally in love with it after looking at that.
I haven't even seen it.
She just Googled it really quick. It's this Yaris, Y-A-R-I-S, Toyota. Neat little car, like 12 grand. Really great attributes as far as like extra glove boxes. Things like that that you would seem...
Just little things.
Just little things like that. And of course, Toyota quality. How can you go wrong?
Toyota? You can drive a Toyota for 500,000 miles. You can drive them forever.
You know, it's Toyota does not want me to be their official spokesman when I say this, but you can be a complete idiot and own a Toyota and it will never break.
No, it's true. They'll run forever. They really will.
Yeah.
Next week, remind me to talk to you about this car I drove when I was in L.A. A car I'd never heard of before. On that note...
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris. I know that we just booted it today because we got bogged down in cleaning scars and so forth. Where are we?
Not too bad. You got Lisa Goddard, Jim Roof. Dennis is there. You got the Penis Watch, the Whitney Watch, and the Britney Watch, and Dick Dale. You just didn't get to the superherostuff.com.
I was aware of that, and I didn't want to just jam it in at the end. We'll have to take some time on that tomorrow.
You go from 44 to a nice, even round 45.
Is it really possible that I have 45 push-ups?
Oh, I think we could probably work on that tonight, though.
God, I hate my life.
Are you going to be there tonight, Chris?
I am going to be there tonight.
It was in the paper today, and we did confirm with Dante's, by the way. And I know people are like, screw it, why should I bother Storm? You know what? I will tell you this. It's not that like we care a whole lot at this point who wins. I think our thing is we're just completists and anal.
We put 3 months into our lives of this. Why not do just one more week and then it'll be gone next week, never to be done again.
We're such type A anal retentive personalities. I gotta finish it. I can't. It's like you leave one peanut on the bottom of the bowl. I don't think so. You gotta finish it.
I just want to see Toby come out on stage with a pink scarf going, I'm out! I'm out!
I just want to see Delana cry when she loses.
I want to see her cry too.
So, and tonight was the show that I was at the taping of. So who knows? Maybe you'll see my ugly mug. So thank you, Chris.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, don't forget, we are at Dante's tonight. The show airs at 9. We'll be there, I don't know, a little while before that, 9 o'clock tonight.
45 push-ups?
Shh.
They better bring the cardiac cart for you.
Seriously. Uh-huh. tonight, Rockstar Supernova, and then it finishes tomorrow night, and then we're done with the whole damn thing.
Thank God.
Thanks to Dennis Pitzenbarger. We want to thank Gary Baumgarten, Jim Roof, Lisa Goddard, et cetera. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. To news director Tim Riley, more than an intern, Scotty J., manager of Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. Thanks also to Dick Dale. Don't forget, he's also at the Doug Fur Lounge tonight. You can find out more at dickdale.com. Like us up next, Don and Mike at 7, and John and Jeff at 11. See you tomorrow. As always, don't let the bastards run it down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Um.